The Gospel reading for the fifth reflection is taken from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. On your path, O God, and not our own, be all our journeying. Amen. One of the phrases I used to describe something of our discipleship journey when I introduced this series of reflections was, "We thought we knew." It's been the most common phrase that Sister Elizabeth Pio and I have used since we felt called from separate lives to this venture in Norfolk. We thought we were being called to live as two solitaries alongside one another. We thought it was going to be a more hidden life of prayer, maybe even a new order. Well, we thought we knew, and how wrong we were. In following God, he has called us to continue the ministry of the Society of the Sisters of Bethany, of hospitality and retreat work, for this time and in this place. How little we knew. And just as the parable Jesus shows us in today's Gospel reading, the landowner thought he knew. It seemed logical, didn't it, in having too much grain to build a bigger barn to store it all. He thought he had it all sorted. And yet the one thing Jesus is pointing us to in this parable is that God wasn't invited into this plan. God wasn't considered. The landowner was absorbed in his own needs. His priorities became distorted because he became so insular in his outlook. So this week, we are encouraged to look at our priorities, our focus, and perhaps our outlook. To ask ourselves the question of, how am I being rich towards God? What does being rich towards God mean to me? What does it mean for us as a community? Jesus is reminding us of the problems of greed and selfishness. To be preoccupied with our own needs, and that wealth can leave us empty to God. There seems to be a sense for me in this parable that aside from Jesus reminding us to be careful of greed from personal wealth, in material terms, monetary value, he is perhaps really prompting us to consider the kingdom work. How what we do is for the building up of God's kingdom, on earth as in heaven. There are many wealthy people who do amazing kingdom work, using their wealth for the benefit of others. It's not so much what we have, whether it's money, time, talents, but what kind of stewardship we have. How do we use the gifts God has given us? That seemed the missing element for the landowner. He had been provided for abundantly from the land, but the stewardship of the abundant grain he gained was inward-looking, selfish. So perhaps it is time to reflect on the gifts you have been given, to re-examine your gifts, the gifts of your community. And gifts change over time. What was right or appropriate at one time and stage in life is not necessarily right for now. Our church buildings are perhaps one such significant thing. They have been purposeful in different ways over so many years. But I wonder what God might be saying to us about them now. Have we even asked him that question? Have we become insular in our outlook about church in general? What it means for this time and place? I'm sure many of you have seen those pictures that can have two or sometimes three different images, depending on how you look at the picture. When I did a psychology degree, we used these pictures to think about how people perceive things. It helps us to realise that sometimes we can see different things depending on how we look at the picture. When we look in slightly different ways, perhaps opening our mind to see different possibilities. How easy do you find it to change your perspective? It's an important question to ask in our discipleship journey. Our Christian faith teaches us that we don't have the full picture. The first disciples learnt this at every stage of their journey with Jesus. They, as we do, look with our human eyes to human problems to create human solutions. Just as the landowner did in this parable. And it's why Jesus gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. It is the Spirit that can help us to fill in the gap between our humanness and the will of God. We need the Spirit to direct us, to help us see what our humanness can't. As Paul reminds us in his second letter to the Corinthians, he says, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." The Spirit guides us and helps us to see beyond what our human eyes can see, a spiritual freedom. My humanness believed my vocation would have forever been to pray alongside the community at Canterbury Cathedral. It seemed set, dead certain. And yet, my humanness didn't know the full plan until the Holy Spirit guided me, led me. I couldn't see what was round the corner. All I could do was be open. Open to the unimaginable, the what seemed impossible to me. Let go of my own expectations and walk on in faith, as we all do. And here I am, doing what I never imagined. Nothing is impossible to God, but we have to invite him in. Open our hearts and minds to what he may be whispering in our hearts, what he might be saying to us as church communities, how he might want to use our gifts, our talents, our time, our wealth in new ways, or in the same ways. But until we open ourselves, we don't know. I wonder what different course of action the landowner may have taken if he had been able to keep God at the centre of his plans and allow the Holy Spirit to open his mind to possibilities beyond himself. Maybe that barn would still have been built, but maybe with a different purpose in mind. Maybe he wouldn't have needed to store all of his grain. Maybe his whole community could have helped him in storing the grain amongst them. I don't know, it's mere speculation. But keeping God at the centre helps us to look at the possibilities, the different perspectives, to change our outlook, our priorities, our focus. Open ourselves up from the human impossible to the heavenly possible. In the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary, "For nothing will be impossible for God." Alleluia.